Hey, everybody. Welcome to Chan's Logic, episode 30. Do it with your hands. Do it with your hands.
The big
3-0. The big 3-0. Steph's sending me messages right now, everybody.
3-0, like your age.
That's true. I'm 30. Steph, how old are you?
30.
Are you lying? I think you're like 4 years off of that.
32. 33 next month.
Oh my gosh.
I'm going to be 33.
She's officially old.
You've hit 30 year old too now.
Yeah, I'm 30.
Just kidding. 30's the new 20.
That's true.
Just 30. Like 20 year old interns tell us.
Yep.
Because 20 is the new 12.
Nobody likes being 20 anymore because they've realized it's the entire length of being broke.
Yep.
So they're always like, hey, when can I turn 30 and do stuff? I'm like, well, just do stuff when you're 20.
Yeah.
You'll be better off. Just start it off early.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
So anyway, today we wanted to talk about the recent experience. Yes, Steph, stand on your tippy toes.
Well, why can't we, look at that.
Yeah.
That's better.
I was fine. We could see her. If you're listening to this, all we could see was Steph's forehead.
Sophaloaf's on.
Oh, that's exciting.
Hi, Sophaloaf.
So today we wanted to talk about the Caffeine and Kilos weightlifting meet we were just at. If you're not aware, we coach a large youth weightlifting team, and we have a lot of juniors and adults as well, but mostly I would say youth and
It's mostly youth and juniors.
Yeah. And so they come to the gym every day or every other day. They're always late, but at least they always show up and they have a good time in the gym.
Yep.
And then every so often we take them to a meet because they want to compete, because you don't want to just train forever and not actually ever compete. And so we always do a poll and we let them pick which meets they want to do. And they chose the Caffeine and Kilos Invitational because we've always had a good relationship with Caffeine and Kilos and we've always been good supporters of them. Funny story.
They support the kids.
First time we met those guys, we actually went out and drank sake bombs all night with them.
And we marched the arch.
And we marched the arch.
But we were late, so.
By several hours, so we marched it by ourselves.
We actually marched the arch by driving to the arch and marching back in the car.
Yeah, it was exciting.
We failed.
You know you're going to be best friends when you go out with someone. You have a blast, though.
Yeah, and then we ended up at one of the college bars. I don't even know.
It's called Little Waldorf.
Oh, yeah, that one. Mm-hmm. We drank, I don't even know, Fireball and apple cider things.
Yeah.
Look, Sophie said, I'm coming to weightlifting today because she forgot.
Funny story. One of Sophie's goals on the weightlifting board, because we have the kids write goals, is just to go to weightlifting. And she massively failed that goal until recently. She came four times this year?
Well, yeah, she came 5 times in the last 4 weeks.
Oh, yeah.
Because I told her, you can't compete unless you come to practice because it's been about 3 months since you've practiced.
Yeah. And we can harass her because she's my little sister.
Yep. But now she comes once a week. She gets her lifts done. Whatever. As long as they have a good time.
Faith join.
Faithy cakes.
So anyway, before we go to the meet, we build up for a couple of months to get the kids to the meet. They all have their little specific things they do on the board, and they're all excited about it. And so they go through phases. There's a phase one, which is high reps in terms of what they're doing, and then lower weight, because we need to prepare their joints and their bodies to be able to take the larger amount of weight later on. And that's one of the biggest things with coaching kids, that makes sure that they're safe, is you need to make sure that you progress them properly and in a systematic fashion, to where you're not just overloading them right off the bat. And that's why we always say your weightlifting program can't be a watered down adult program. Now, you can transition the older kids into an adult program when they're ready, which is a subset of what we do, but you can't just throw them in there and expect them to do what the adults do right off the bat, because they'll die.
Yeah. So our competitive 14 kind of plus kids, they're on the adult program. They can handle it. They've been with us for 2+ years. And they want to go to national events and whatnot. So they come in, get their work done, have fun, do whatever they want. Half the time they're running around chasing each other.
Yeah. The way the program structured, like we were saying, is they have a buildup. So phase one is the high rep, lower intensity, so high volume, low intensity. So it's a lot of reps, low weight to get their joints prepped. Phase two is moderate intensity, so little lower reps or moderate volume, higher intensity. So it's basically moderate reps and moderate intensity. So it's right in the middle. So now we're bridging them up. And then phase three is low reps or low volume and high intensity. So that's the point to where we're actually going to be hitting the heavyweights, and they're going to be able to hit what their perceived maxes are and stuff like that. And these three phases take a long time. It's 4 weeks between each phase. It's a 3 week buildup and a 1 week basically rest period, so they don't get overwhelmed and overloaded. So it's 4, 8, 12 weeks before they're ready to go really heavy. And at the end of the 12 weeks, when we're ready to do a meet, they'll have a 2 week tapering period where we basically cut the squat volume and the volume and everything else down completely. And we increase the intensity in what their lifts are going to be. So they're going to hit things that are closer to their max more often for the 2 weeks. So we can make sure that they're peaked to perform at the highest level when they go to the meet.
Look at what's happening over here.
Oh yeah, my Instagram feed, we got a pretty good little conversation going with Faithy and Sophie.
Oh yeah. Sophie's going to go get her homecoming dress. It's just Faith and Sophie.
Well, that's exciting.
Oh yeah. And Destiny, apparently. Faith Cakes, we miss you.
Yeah, Faith was one of our incredible little lifters in the past. She's amazing. They still talk about her in USA Weightlifting.
Yeah. Phil asks about you.
She's legendary. Hey, look, Susie joined.
Hi, Susie.
We're talking about the Caffeine and Kilos Invitational. So basically, after we get the three phases of buildup for the kids, it's 4, 8, 12 weeks plus a 2 week tapering period for them to really taperings to get them comfortable going at the percentages we need them to hit for the meet. And it's getting them ready and confident to hit those weights, because there's not a lot we're going to accomplish in 2 weeks other than getting people mentally competent and confident to be able to hit the lifts they need to hit, especially kids, because a lot of them, it's their first time, or they're not super confident in what they can do. And so we have to make sure that they're prepared and ready to go, and that it's going to be a good experience for them. Because ultimately with kids, the most important thing is the experience, because we need longevity in the kids. If we want them to stick around, it needs to be fun. They need to be confident, and they need to always be having a good time and excited to come in. The second they're not excited or don't want to do it anymore, that's when you're ultimately a failure as a coach. So you need to make sure that it's number one is a good experience. It doesn't even matter if they win or how they perform or what records they're breaking. It just needs to be a good time.
Remember what, Soph?
Good for you. So since Steph's 100% distracted by the Instagram feed.
I'm not distracted.
What did I just say?
They have to have a good time.
There we go. So then when we get to the Caffeine and Kilos meet, basically it's managing 10 to 15 little people running around. And you've got little people who've done this a lot before. We had basically Kirk, who's never done it before. So he was super nervous. First time competitively doing this stuff. So you have to make sure his nerves are calmed and he's okay, and you keep him structured. And then we have kids who've done it a lot, but they're still nervous. And then, so everybody's at different points, and it's your job as the coach to basically manage the atmosphere, manage the environment, and manage their workload at the meet. And our responsibility for those guys is to have their openers written down. And then we need to have basically what their lifts are going to be, when they're going to hit it. And we need to tell them when to do it, because if you leave them to their own devices, they're going to warm up and be done within 30 seconds. And then you have to sit there for an hour until they actually lift. So your biggest tool in your arsenal as a coach is to say, hey, sit down, hurry up and wait.
Yep.
And then they'll come and ask you, what am I doing while you're sitting down? Are you sure? Let me check my own. Yep. Pretty sure. Skim 30 says that you should sit down.
Yep. We had Mia compete. She's 7. She's our little niece. She competed. Bye guys. Bye. Bye Faith. She competed for the first time this weekend, and that's how that went. It was, I don't know, 8:30. She weighed in at 7:30 or something. No, they weighed in at 8. I don't know. But so here she is bebopping around, and she goes, so when can I start doing something? When should I warm up? I'm like, well, you have an hour and a half. And she's like, how long is that? And I'm like, it's a long time. You should probably just sit down. Not so bad when you have 1 7-year-old. When you have a handful of 7-year-olds, it's a little rough, because then they just go bebopping around, cartwheeling everywhere.
Yeah, we've been everywhere from where you have 1 7-year-old to where you have several. So when you have that young, from ages 6 to probably 9, maybe 8, you're going to have a lot of tears, a lot of I don't know what I'm doing, a lot of I need to go to the bathroom. And you're like, oh God, you have to lift in 30 seconds. So then you have to make the decision, how quickly can we do this? And it's not quick with little kids.
No. Sometimes it's a disaster.
Yeah. And usually they have fun though. That's the biggest goal, is to, even if little ones cry, they need to make sure that they have a good time, because yeah, it could be them stubbing their little toe that sets them off, and it's, their little minds work differently. But what we find is the best age to get kids in it and to keep them in it and keep them moving with it is about 12. And if you can get them in at 12 and you can make it a good experience and have a structured program where there's other kids around, that's when it's going to be a good experience for them. And that's when they're going to be excited about it. And that's when they're going to be more likely to stick with it. Of course, when you have youth programs, you're going to have kids and parents and stuff who move away, and then, which is sad. So a lot of our kids move all over, which is why we have a bit of a remote program from kids who used to be here but moved away. So those are the big things. When you're actually at the meet, it's just like we always talk about. It's being a leader, managing time and managing people. And you're managing young people who don't necessarily know what's going on and don't and have this concept that they need to do everything right now. So it's your responsibility to tell them, hey, you got to sit down. You're not going to lift for another 45 minutes. We'll tell them you're 30 lifts out. And they're like, oh, gosh.
Two warm-ups away from being ready. Like, yeah. Oh, God, sit down.
And so then you have to, and then as a coach, it's your responsibility to, there's a table with cards and when everybody's going. So you have to watch and pay attention and shuffle through the cards and make sure your lifts go on time, because if you screw it up, you screw your lifters up. And it's basically a chess game up there. So you have to look at what everybody else is doing and map yourself out based off that, and then set yourself up and your lifters up for success. And then after they actually lift, now you need to look at, you have to be the conscious coach and look at how the lift went and say, okay, we're going to go up, or we're going to go up by like 3 kilos or 5 kilos or maybe less than that. And it's based on how the lifter looks. And I like to ask them how they feel as well, because I want to know what kind of mindset they're in. Mm-hmm. And this doesn't mean you listen to them, because you'll have a lifter who misses and says, jump me up 10 kilos, coach, I can do anything. And you say, okay, settle down, turbo. And so then you have to make the decision. Okay, they looked good. They said they feel good. Good lift. Okay, let's make a good jump. And mm-hmm. we usually hit 2 perfect ones, and we'll let them go up even more if they want to on the third one if they had 2 good lifts.
Yeah. Most of the time our kids are right at, like, they could make the next jump. Most of our kids who have been competing, it's like a 3 kilo jump. So, you know, they get to their last lift and they're like, oh yeah, well, I want to try and PR. And it's like, okay, well, we're going to go up 4 kilos now. But most of the time our kids are little kids, like 7, 8, 9, it's 1 kilo jumps. Unless they're a little bit older, and in the right mindset to be able to make like 2 kilo jumps. But for the most part, it's like 1 every time, no matter what. Good job. You made the lift. We're going up 1 kilo. And then I don't know, even the kind of like 9 to like 12 in between, they're usually only like a 2 kilo jump.
Yeah.
Even if they say they feel good, they're still not quite sure what's going on.
Yeah. And you have to think with the little tiny kids with their little tiny bodies, 1 kilo is a huge jump away. If you have a kid who weighs 30 kilos, who's 7 years old, 1 kilo is huge. It's like, it's 2 pounds.
Right.
It's going to be a massive strength jump for them. So you have to make sure you understand that you can't take kids and expect them to jump 3, 4, 5 kilos when they're little.
Right.
You can take your older kids, like your juniors, you can jump 3 kilos at a time. And the last one, let them jump 5 if they want to get jiggy with it. But you also need to pay attention to how they're moving and what they look like, because that's going to dictate their jump. The juniors can take it because they weigh more and they're older. The little ones can't. When you're in like 12 to 18 or 12 to 17, probably, that's when you can make 2, maybe 3 kilo jumps. But you really need to pay attention to what the kid looks like. The younger they are, the smaller the jump needs to be. Mm-hmm. And I have this philosophy as well, and our kids like it, is we'd rather hit 2 good lifts and then let them have a little fun on their third, versus being conservative and going 6 for 6 all the time, because 6 for 6 is boring. You always feel like you could have done more, unless it's your first meet. With every one of our kids, if it's your first meet, you're going to go 6 for 6, and you're going to be way below what you're capable of. So when you finish, you're like, coach, I could have done way more. And I'm like, exactly, we'll do that next time.
Yeah. Yep.
What do you think, Steph?
I think that sounds good.
Yeah, so the Caffeine and Kilos meet went really well with all our kids. We had, what, 10 kids there?
Yeah.
Or something like that?
Well,
Mia,
yeah.
Close enough. Mia was the miniest at 7 years old. She hit all her lifts because it was her first one.
Yeah.
Kirk also went 6 for 6 because it was his first one. And then all of our other kids have had at least 1 or 2 or 3 weightlifts, probably at least 2 or 3 meets under their belt.
They've
been doing
it
for a while. And all of them hit really good lifts. And they were all pumped about it, had a good time.
Yeah.
Every time Sophia, the other one, hits a squat jerk, the whole crowd goes wild and goes crazy. And
surprise on her first one, gets real loud.
Yeah. And then afterward, we always, it was in Sacramento, so you travel and then you take the kids out to have fun and do something exciting afterward.
Yeah, we missed the zoo this time. We usually always go to the zoo wherever we are. And then, so we went to Sacramento this time. Yeah. Just ran around town with the kids.
It's true.
And that's the other thing. I mean, from my like gymnastics days, I always just remember it being me and then the team, you know, my like teammates, and we'd be with our coaches. You know, parents, they went, but you didn't always stay with them, whatever. So, you know, as like your team gets older too, and you've got like a good solid group. I mean, our parents, you know, for the most part, they're like, okay, we've seen them compete. Can you just take them? Yeah. You know, so it makes it fun for them too. Like we get to, you know, the boys share a room, the girls share a room, and then we just carpool together, and it saves it. I mean, we have kids that can drive, some of our juniors, but there's no point in them driving over, you know, couple hours and then having to compete and stuff. So that's always fun too, building a good community where the parents are like trusting and willing to be like, here you go, take my kids to the meet.
Yeah.
Have fun. So
and when you think about it, there's only a couple of mentors kids are going to have when they're young and when they're growing up, and it's going to be their parents, their teacher, and then whoever their coach is if they do a sport. Because when we see our kids, they come in the gym. Our practices really only last an hour, but they're in there for two or three sometimes because they just want to hang out and goof off and be out of, completely out of control. But so you have to enter that mentorship spot too. You know, the kids are going to want to hang out with you. They're going to want to be in the environment if you put them in a good environment. And if you put them in a shitty environment where you're always yelling and cussing and being a jerk, they're not going to want to stick with it. And they're going to end up quitting because it's not a good environment. They're not having fun. But if you're a little lackadaisical, you kind of let them do, you give them a lot of leeway. They usually don't take advantage of it.
Yeah.
Like our kids, we put it on the board. They know what they need to hit. We're there coaching. But at the same time, we don't structure their, we don't make them do like 1 minute rest breaks, and we don't make it super structured, and we don't yell and scream at them.
Yeah. It's fun for them.
Yeah. Which is huge. Mm-hmm. So you got to think about their mindset. Same thing we talk about with empathy. When you're working with kids, you have to understand the world through their eyes. They're coming into your facility initially probably because their parents drug them in for sports performance or something. But once you develop a bond with them and they really enjoy what you do and they feel good about what's going on and it's somewhere they want to be, you've created a really good environment for those kids. Mm-hmm. And it's your responsibility to maintain that environment and make sure that it's always a good place for them, and that you become the mentor they look up to and that they want to kind of hang out with and that they want to talk to. And just, and it's, you create an environment where it's their third home, mm-hmm. or second home even. None of the kids like school. They wouldn't even go to school.
They had a choice. Yeah. Some of our kids, they come in and they're like, I've seen you more than I've seen my parents all week. I'm like, all right.
It happens in sports. They come over right after school and then they go home and they go to bed.
Yep.
So that's youth programs in a nutshell. Our Stony Ridgeville Barbell Club is pretty big. We're actually expanding on our remote stuff. So I just built out a bunch of new things. We'll be accepting some people into some generalized stuff. And then I keep about 10 kids in my remote programming onslaught usually. So our newest one is Shiloh. He's a champion. You get to watch his videos every week.
We met Shiloh back at our first youth national 2015. But he was he was Abby's age, seven. So he was like eight or nine.
He's up in the New England area.
A little one, yep.
So if you want more info on the youth programs and what we do, just shoot me an email, chandler@stoningsfield.com. If you're listening to this and since we have a big gym following and you want to jump on the youth stuff, just shoot me an email. We can talk about what we do and what it looks like. One of the biggest things we get emailed to us is how to run youth weightlifting programs.
Yeah.
All right.
Definitely.
This has been fun. Until next week. See ya.
Bye.